Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Loads of news happening around the country this week that just didn't quite make the national headlines. So Breakfast Briefing presenter Shane Beattie is with me in studio to tell us all about them. How are we?
I'm very well. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. All good?
Yeah, all fine. A very quiet weekend ahead because I feel everyone is doing the same. After the bank holiday weekend and there's just so much on, it feels like everyone's taking a bit of a breather. What are you up to?
Nothing.
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 Yeah.
Not a thing. And I couldn't be more excited about it.
Even the thoughts of doing something this weekend.
I am on it. Do you know, it's the first weekend I've had nothing to do in ages.
Good.
I'm thrilled about it.
Yes.
Thrilled.
Lock the front door, close the blinds. Yeah. That's the plan.
What's happening in Cork?
I always just think there has to be a special place in hell for people who rob lifebuoys. Mm. And you hear of these incidents so much. The amount of times we hear where lifebuoys have been robbed or damaged or vandalised. The Irish Examiner has an interview this week with a man called Colin Russell. And such is the problem in Cork, by the way, that his job is to check the River Lee to make sure that the lifebuoys aren't stolen. Now, he says, why do people rob them? Well, divilment, obviously, as you can imagine. Some people apparently take them as souvenirs and put the lifebuoys up on their walls in their bedrooms at home, which is really bizarre. And then he's also discovered that some use the lifebuoys as wood, as firewood, to keep them warm on a cold day out fishing. Obviously, none of those reasons justify robbing what could save someone's life. The River Lee, 100 lifebuoys on the banks, but they have to be replaced constantly, we're told. And at least once a week in Cork, a lifebuoy is used to save a life. But many of them are robbed or damaged. The council spends 20 grand a year dealing with the vandalism of lifebuoys because an average of 25 are dumped in the river every month. So that's 300 in a year.
That's unbelievable.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Desperate.
They lose about 10 lifebuoys a week. And Colin Russell, as I say, his job is to check the River Lee. He says he's often been in the Lee fields where the small ones in the yellow boxes are set alight by people who are there fishing just to keep warm.
But there should be some criminal offence for that.
I think so, because you are actually endangering life.
You are.
Yeah, with this.
And you're like, and don't tell me you don't know what they're for.
I know, they're such a specific piece of equipment. So he comes across people who use them to burn them for fishing, also if they're drinking on the banks of the Lee. Or he says some people take them as souvenirs to hang up on the walls of their houses. So it's a really good interview in the Examiner. But also, just a reminder, please don't interfere with the Ring Boys because they will save a life.
No.
Well, we're talking about rich people's problems here. I never knew there's a house in Ireland which recently was sold for, we believe, 35 million euro. Isn't that mad money? And now,
who would even have the money to buy that?
I'll tell you who. James Dyson. So this is the British billionaire James Dyson.
Anything to the Hoovers?
Yeah, him.
Oh.
Well, actually not a Hoover, a vacuum cleaner, because Hoover is the brand name. So it's the Dyson vacuum cleaner. So James Dyson is a British billionaire, big into inventing and entrepreneurship and all that stuff.
I mean, the man's a genius.
Yeah.
The hairdryer, the curling, the Dyson curler, the Dyson wand.
Yeah, you know, the hand dryers in the toilets as well are Dyson. A reminder, by the way, James Dyson, as well as making his money from inventing the bagless Dyson vacuum cleaner, he also played a big role in advocating for Brexit, right? So he wanted the UK to leave, and then he buys this place in Waterford, which is in an EU member state. So there's a bit of an irony there. But anyway, the reason this is in the news this week is that a second appeal has been lodged with an Comisión Pleanála against a helicopter pad planned for Ballinatra House or Tray House in County Waterford, which is, as I say, sold for 35 million. It's an 850-acre estate on a bend of the Blackwater River. It's gorgeous, by the way, looking at pictures of it. It's close to the Waterford.
Frantically Googling it.
Yes. Ballinatra House, it's called. It's close to the Waterford Cork border and was previously owned by British property developer Henry Gwynne Jones. And the plans.
Oh, wow.
It's nice, isn't it?
God, I could live there.
Yeah. You see why it was 35 million. And it's right on the banks of the Blackwater.
It's very Downton Abbey.
It is. Or Ballyfin House or somewhere like that, it looks like to me. The plans for the helipad, because you'd need a helipad for something
I presume if you can buy a house 35 million. Like, to be honest, I'd want a runway. Like,
oh, same.
You know, like if you have that kind of
your
cash,
own
like
private airport.
Yeah.
So they want to build a helicopter landing area and associated site works. However, locals are complaining Because they're worried about the potential for noise disturbance and also impact on local wildlife. So one resident complained. Now two more residents have complained, citing concerns over noise and aural disturbance from the helicopter landing area. And they're worried about the environment there. The update we have for you is that the council granted planning permission for the helipad on the 27th of June. That was appealed to on Commission Planola, but that was deemed invalid. Another appeal has been submitted, and we're going to find out on November 26th whether they'll be allowed to have a helipad or not for Mr. Dyson. As I say, rich people's money problems.
What's happening at home?
A great story from your native Donegal. I assume you're a keen scuba diver, are you?
I'm not, actually, no.
Have you ever been scuba diving?
No. Well, I have on holidays.
Yes.
Yeah. Not actually.
When you go home at the weekends, you don't go scuba diving?
No, I don't. And the other thing I don't do is surf, which people find...
You're a surfer.
Yeah, no, well, we kind of sail, so... Surfing's very big.
Surfing's very common, isn't
it?
Sailing.
Not at all. Very hard. Sailing out of the bath, might I add, right? For a bit of perspective here. Yeah, surfing's really big at home on Rissen Island. But I just never really got into it. Wasn't great at it.
Well, it's a great place for scuba diving, we're told, Donegal. And two holidaymakers went out of their way to rescue a lamb, which had fallen down a cliff in Killybegs. It's a very cute story. Donegal Daily has the news, and it says the lads were scuba diving when they came across a stranded black lamb, quite rare, just above the waterline. Niall Gonnelly and Adam Gonnelly, who are both members of the Newry and Moran search and rescue team, knew exactly what to do when they saw the lamb. We're told they brought in some quick thinking and teamwork, contacted Malinhead Coast Guard, who liaised with the local farmer to coordinate a safe recovery. And then the boys were in the water, so thanks to Niall's work in the water and Adam's steady hand at the helm of the dive vessel, the lamb was safely recovered, brought onto the boat, and later returned to the farmer on the land. And a spokesperson for Newry and Moran Search and Rescue say they're delighted their volunteers. Yeah. Great timing. They were the ones who just happened to be out on the water at the time. So a big, big well done to Niall and Adam for their swift action and dedication.
Now, the most underrated place in Europe has been found.
It has.
And it's in Ireland.
We watched the small free birds fly.
And yeah, it feels like every week Galway's in the news for tourism.
And good news.
This is no different. As you say, Europe's most underrated place can be found in a tiny part of Galway. From the images that people see online, they're getting it mixed up with the Mediterranean or somewhere in Greece. So, Aran Islands, we're told you don't have to go to one of the Mediterranean or Greek islands for a top experience, because Big Seven Travel has included Inishmore in their list of the 20 most underrated islands in Europe.
Have you ever been?
I have years ago. Yeah, I loved it.
I've never been.
We got the boat from Galway one day years ago. I must go back to it actually, because I really enjoyed it. And that's Aranmore, and the boat sails quite often, obviously, unless the weather's really, really bad. But Inishmore came out in a very respectable 7th place. So it beat places on the Côte d'Azur in France and the Inner Hebrides in Scotland. So they looked at local charm, natural beauty, cultural significance, accessibility, activities and attractions, and local community. And it makes 7 out of the top 10. We also have islands in Greece, France, Croatia, Norway, Italy, Scotland and Portugal.
That's some boost, isn't it?
It's fantastic, yes.
Most underrated place.
They say Inishmore is an island of desolate beauty, and they praise the story the island tells of thousands of years of Irish history with long-standing grey stone pubs. We'd be interested in that, scattered across the patchwork fields. So there's somewhere to consider going for a little staycation.
Yeah, I really want to put, right, Tory Island.
Yeah.
I've been there once.
I've never been to Tory, but I have neighbours who used to go every single year.
I want to go to Inishmore.
Yeah.
And we were talking about Cape Clear on the show about 3 or 4 weeks.
I'm
dying to see Cape Clear in Cork.
Yeah, let's do an island tour. That'd be amazing. Yeah, Tory Island, I'm dying to go to.
Gilligan's Island, we might call the segment.
Lovely. Here we go. That's that name decided.
Finally.
My bonnie lies over the ocean. My bonnie lies over the sea. My bonnie lies over the ocean. Oh, bring back my bonnie to me.
Yes. Every time I hear that song, I just think of the Rosa Tralee. So there must be some Rosa Tralee story, is it?
No, it's not.
Oh.
We're talking about a woman who travelled over water to come here, so that's why we played that piece of music. And we were actually going to Longford for a final story. We all know how hard the dating scene can be, particularly for women. The stories I hear from my female friends about the chats they're having on apps and
stuff
like that.
Just going out now with computer boyfriends. We were hearing about this yesterday. AI chatbots.
Do you know what? They'd be better off with some of the stories I hear. Anyway, so because it's so difficult for people on dating apps, some women are broadening their reach. And this is the story of a US comedian who may have found the love of her life right here in Ireland, all thanks to a message he sent her on Instagram months ago. I believe the young people call this sliding into your DMs.
Oh, stop.
So that's what he did.
Duke.
And so smitten is Teresa Rowley, who's in Dallas, Texas, that she recently hopped on a plane all the way from Dallas to fly to Longford, to Ireland, and travel to Longford to meet a man called Sean Rooney.
Some effort for a date.
It is. Teresa has over 227,000 followers on Instagram and nearly 800,000 followers on TikTok. So she's doing great wonders for the Irish tourism industry too. So your man Sean sent her a DM ages ago, but she was in a relationship with someone in Texas at the time, so she didn't pay any attention. This was last year. Then she became single again and struck up a conversation with Sean, who had sent her the DM. She said she'd respond to him here and there, and he made me laugh, which is something that means a lot to me, she said. They started yapping a bit in the DMs, then they moved to texting, they took it offline, and they transitioned into FaceTiming. And next thing, the bowel Teresa decides to book an international flight to Ireland. Now, she didn't fly by herself.
How much did this cost?
That's irrelevant for the price of love, you know. She did have a male friend who she flew with, so she didn't feel as nervous. On arriving
at Dublin, like a chaperone for the date.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. After arriving in Dublin airport, the first meeting wasn't that smooth because she actually walked by him when she landed into the airport.
Oh, stop.
She didn't notice him, but eventually they met up. Now, she only came to Ireland for a week for this date, but they did squeeze...
A week long date?
They squeezed a lot in on their trip. And the good news is that the pair are very much still going strong after their first date. She plans to fly back to Ireland, and there's even very early stage plans for Sean to visit Texas. So watch this space.
My God.
Yes. So get off the apps and get on a plane.
Some serious effort now.
And reply to men who send you DMs is the lesson here, apparently.
Shane Beattie, thanks a million for joining us. Loads of news happening across the country this week. Shane will be back 6 o'clock Monday morning.
Talk to you next week.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.